2022 is the worst time for leaders to be alive, huh? Do you think so?
I think leaders don't have time to be best or worst. They don't look at time in that way, basically. They don't have good time or bad time. It's just a time to be a leader. There is no bad or good. Because, and you know, when there are crises, like, you know, all across the media, it says 2022 is filled with crises.
Right, right.
So I think it is basically an opportunity for a lot of leaders to be born.
Right.
Because in crisis, we have more leaders.
Right, right, right. And now we are in a crisis
filled with crisis.
So, we are going to talk about leaders. And right now, in our young age, we would have seen a lot of people with potential leadership qualities, you know. Classroom, class representative, team lead. Then we start looking at, you know, countries leaders, state leaders, you know, national leaders. Now organizational leaders. And this is the first time that CEOs are getting the recognition, like, in the media. So we are going to talk about leaders in this episode. And first, basically, we start from what exactly is a leader in Ramari Chuli PSC start from. It'll be easier for them to understand. So what exactly is a leader?
So my perception of a leader, I think the best way to describe a leader is, you know, take a ship, for example. The leader is the captain, and a captain has a set of objectives, just like take care of his team, also delegate his team to make the ship go from point A to point B. So
right,
that is the objective. The end objective is to move that vessel from point A to point B and do it through utilizing as much as minimum resource as possible. That is, like, you know, being most effective as possible.
Correct.
And when, you know, in certain conditions, leadership has a high level of requirement, because when situations are hard, because you cannot determine how the situation is going to be. So that is when the leader steps in. If the sea is going to be, you know, not rough, it is going to be calm, there is no use of the leader. You know how it is going to go and everything. But, you know, the sea is never calm. The sea is always rough. The sea is always unpredictable.
You have to always fight fire.
Fight fire. So that is when the leader is there to step in and say, you know, stop getting confused. Stop panicking. We are going in the right way. We will do it. We will achieve it. So the leader is there to take that play, that ship from point A to point B without any hazards.
Right. And when put it into words, like as you said, like, it's more than just a direction, but to actually handle people, handle situations, handle the, you know, how to put it, mental messiness, you know, sometimes when emotional support. So it should be a consortium of all of these things put together, because when recession happens, or, you know, a company is going to be, it's going to face a downfall, they have to not only think logically, but have to think of all the people who are in the journey with them, and to, you know, give the support. So recently we are seeing, you know, mass layoffs and everything, you know, CEOs entirely firing the people on a Zoom call. And a lot of people are arguing that it is the only effective way to do it. And some people say, like, these people have been with the company for a lot of time. And I think a leader should strike a balance between finding a logical thing and an emotional thing. So, And right now, they are put into a lot of spotlight, I think. Because I don't think this would have been in news, you know, when we were in the manufacturing or the, labor revolution or something like that. But right now, every single action that you take in a company is going to be publicized, and you're going to be criticized for it. And I think a leader should be capable of being criticized also, and not be a part where he should take the criticism into heart and then, you know, be a person who is affected by the consequence of what people are telling. And the direction that he directs the team to go in, and the way he handles criticism from the internal team and the external environment plays a crucial role.
External and internal environment.
Yeah, basically. I think it depends on how the person is mentally, personally, and, you know, behaving in a team organization.
So, but you know, when we talk about leaders, and you know, if basically when you initially pointed out, it was like, you know, you have organizational leaders, global leaders. Organization leaders, I think they have, you know, different kind of, you know, what is expected from them is different. For them, it is the organization first, and everything is
next,
you know,
that profit is, and a lot of other things.
Not profit, I think, you know, people come and go, but the organization got to stay there forever. That is the objective of the organization. You know, a leader is not permanent, and no leader is ever going to be permanent. But in case of political leaders, I believe it is not, you know, we, most of the countries across the globe, you know, are following democracy, hopefully are following democracy. In such situation, it is not the organization that has got to be there forever.
Right.
It is about, you know, people have to be there forever, because that is what democracy stands for, you know. So a leadership role, when we consider in terms of organization, that is, you know, in terms of business organization and in terms of political organization, I think the way to look at it and the decisions to take about when crisis comes should be much different. But what I personally see in the current world is, or it has been not just current, I think it has been happening all throughout, you know, known history, is both ways it has been taken the same way. It is never done for the people. It is always done for the, you know, organization. It has never been done for the people. In case if it has ever been done for the people, I don't think we would have ever been in such a situation as of now. It is because just because of it has been done for the organization. For example, take a particular ideology, a particular party in a political scenario. They don't do it for the people. It has been done for the organization, for the ideology of the organization. And this is the reason, one reason why I think, you know, the current day leaders, political leaders, should think, you know, start to think in a radically different way, thinking it is for the people, it is not for the organization. You know, whichever party comes across the globe, you know, let it be the US, let it be the India, Republicans, Democrats, they have certain specific agenda. But, you know, when you have certain specific agenda, there itself you start discriminating the people. You know, you just need to have agendas of, the agenda is the people. Take for example the Indian political scenario. You have two major parties across, you know, in the national level it is the same. You have two to three major parties, and it is the same in the state level also. You have two or three major parties, and both these parties have two different objectives. So that way itself, you know, you start to discriminate, you start forming smaller organizations, and it is not the way to run a political organization. So, you know, leaders in political organizations should start thinking differently.
Right.
You know, they should stop thinking like an organization, like how a business organization thinks for profit. The political organization is thinking of votes.
Right.
But you know, and not all companies that have been thinking for profits have been successful. You know, companies that wanted to add value to their customers,
bring change and
bring
impact,
change, you know, they have lasted forever. You know, companies, you know, I read a lot about Apple, I read a lot about Steve Jobs, and you know, the kind of thing that they wanted to bring into the society was change. That's all. They do not want to, you know, say, I want to compete, I want to get into this market, I want those. No, I want to be, you know, radically bring a difference into this market. I want to be, you know, change the status quo of what is there in the current market and make it much better for the consumers. And still today, you know, they are there as the market leaders just because of the same thing. Same way, if political leaders are also ready to think, you know, it is for the people. I want to add value for the people, not just increase my vote bank by, you know, starting to discriminate and, you know, kind of how we segment customers in business. Right. They segment vote banks.
Votes into different things.
Once that is done, you know, you are actually not adding value to the people. You're just adding value to your vote bank and to your organization. And that is not the way how political leaders should work. We should, you know, as people, we should also start thinking in this way. You know, a political leader who is just thinking about you is not a political leader.
Right.
Good. A political leader should think about all of you. You know, whoever he is responsible for, he should have the ability to think for all of them rather than just, you know, you or your, based on however it is being discriminated. I think only once people change, I think everything
will change. I read about something like collaborative political administration where,
okay,
so this person was talking about every single time there are two parties.
Okay.
One party is in power and the other party's entire job is to say what they are doing is wrong.
Correct.
And he questions, why should you not tell them, you know, help them, you know, do it better? Why are you waiting for a time where you have to be in charge to do things?
Okay.
So, for example, let's say right now, the opposing party will say, like, whatever the current ruling party is saying is wrong. But tell them, like, this is something that we can do. We can do this instead of something like this. So, every single, in all over the world, it is the same thing.
It is the same way, correct.
So, he was talking about there should be a collaborative environment where they all put their ideas into. Because they are also going to be a part of the state also, like if they are elected.
So, yeah, when we said about leadership qualities, I think, you know, we have to talk about it. But leaders should not blame others. I think it should of their...
Accountability is one of the biggest
accountability
things.
If you have to be a leader, you have to take everything into your accountability. If you want to be a
leader, it's my fault.
I accept it. It is because of me. I did not do it. That is the reason why it has happened. But present day leaders, you know, they just do the blame game. The Chinese virus, the Russian Ukraine war, everything is, you know, the COVID-19 situation.
You create scenarios to blame on.
Blame everything around. You can just say point fingers and, you know, you don't say it's not me. So a person like that cannot be a leader. A person like that is just I just wanted to use the F word, but looking at the current leaders that, you know, I am looking at in our current day world, it makes me really emotional. Emotionally, it's giving that feeling.
Right. And I think people have started to become emotionally frustrated with what they are doing. And I read somewhere where they were telling it is not sustainable for people to protest against something.
Not sustainable.
Okay. To protest. So, for example, what they mean by that is, like, if you can go without food for 28 days and protest for some change, the government or the people you are protesting against will not do anything.
Okay.
And the month ends and you have to start paying rent and you have to have for food. So you cannot actually put so much into stake so that you will stop protesting and you have to go back to work.
But, you know, take a country like India, you know, our freedom struggle, you know, even before that, we saw the protest that was happening
against the British. They went to Delhi and did the farmers.
You know, I think that protest is still lasting and it's lasted over a month. That is, you know, people collaborating, you know. People are becoming more powerful than the, you know, we are seeing that across the globe now when, when people understand, the awareness of the people are much better. I think governments have to change.
Right.
And, you know, when you said the economic cycle hits them, they would have to go back and, you know, protests are not sustainable. Protests become sustainable when there is a huge mass of aware people backing the protest.
Right. For example, when the Jallikattu happened, people brought food, people provided their moral support.
The Jallikattu protest, I don't think it was a protest of awareness. I think it was a very emotional protest by the Tamil people, you know, the Tamilians, you know. It was about things that they do not understand, basically.
True.
Something big was happening, but the protest was about something very small.
Right.
And linking both those things, you know, does not make any sense. But yet, it was a very successful protest, like Mani said. But the way how I looked at it was, you know, some people in the media just used it to gain traction.
Right.
And some people used it to get some holidays from their work.
Right.
And enjoy some time.
And like companies were, you know, paying for the time off also.
Sure. So I think it became a mandate. You know, if a company, you are a company in
and Tamil you are not letting
you are not letting yeah, means yeah. you are not a Tamilian anymore. And the kind of
it started questioning their identity.
It was just an emotional protest. It was not an actual, you know, protest with an agenda. It was not a planned protest. It was
right.
You know, not against something that was actually against them. It was against something, you know, banning Jallikattu and you know PETA, I don't think it has any sense.
Right. I understand. And now in the current day scenario, I think company leaders, you know, the CEOs and the CTOs have, you know, started gaining their personal branding status.
Mm.
You know, like we have Ritesh Agarwal in India,
mm.
and we have Elon Musk for Tesla, mm. and SpaceX or whatever, Amazon, Jeff Bezos. So these people have found the first bubble of technology where they broke their Web 2,
mm.
and right now the new set of leaders who are not going to be as old as these guys, because I think everyone who started building their companies in 1997 and everything were like 25, 26.
Mm.
And right now, with the information, like we speak all the time, information is like free. Like you can get to know anything you want. And we see a lot of 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds becoming CEOs.
Mm.
What do you think will be a part of this leadership culture where very young people, like, you know, before they're teenage, they become leaders of a company, and will they have the emotional stability to take these things? Because I've heard a lot of people where corporate companies come into play and they take the share of these people's because they are like very ignorant or negligent of their fact of how they should take the company. Should a leader try to be a mentor for them without having any, you know, personal agenda or personal monetary gain out of it? Or how does this scale? Because I think a lot of people have become millionaires at this young age. Mm. The fathers and mothers don't understand what the product is.
Mm.
The people who in the corporate want to acquire the company.
Mm.
So how should these young people learn leadership? Like, I think it's a very good topic to ponder upon, I guess.
Leadership cannot be learned. True. I think leadership is an acquired...
Right, like it's you are born with something.
You have to be born with it, you know. Acquiring leadership at an old age is not, you know, you cannot teach a person leader. It is about the emotional, emotional intelligence that you have. It's got to do with a lot of factors. So it does not, you cannot just go teach anybody. It is a skill. It is basically
right.
a skill, and the skill is supposed to be part of your...
That's why I phrased it in something like, should a leader identify a future leader or future thing to save them from the collapse, or, you know?
Yeah, so for a very good example I can give you is the Tamil Nadu scenario of the Tamil Nadu politics.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be a big fan of the AIADMK.
Okay.
I've heard about two great leaders.
Right.
NGR and Jayalalitha. And now I see, you know, because of bad succession planning, what has happened.
Right.
So, even if these people had mentors, you know, all these people were under the shadow of great leaders.
Who did amazing things, by the way.
And, you know, they are still not yet good leaders, basically. They are not yet strong leaders. They are not yet leaders of worth. You know, because they are easily gullible. You know, any external factor can just change them. So, even people like this, you know, when you said mentorship, it is hard.
Right. It is not like transferable, basically.
It's not transferable. Another example we can give is Alexander. Alexander came into power at a very young age.
17, I guess. No? 17 or 16.
And he was supposed to be one of the world's greatest leaders.
Right.
So, you know, leadership is a trait, you know. I'm sure, you know, he would have heard it from his father, from his grandfather. You know, it comes up in the blood. Basically, it is kind of genetic. Also, you know how to do certain things because in the environment that you were growing up when you were young, you were trained like that. You know, you see people around acting like leaders, becoming like leaders. So, you know what to talk, you know how to act, you know how to react, you know what is important. You know which to give the most priority to.
And do you think, for example, it's like humans are like, there's a book called Copycat Marketing where it tells... like everything that we do has been inspired by something, or like we see monkey do and stuff like that.
Okay.
But do you think leaders have a different perspective on life where they don't do what other people are doing, but they choose the entirely different path? I think there's a quote by Steve Jobs, like the ones who think, ones who are crazy enough to think that they can bring change are the actual crazy ones who actually do.
So again, like when we started, you know, types of leaders, we can say like, you know, political leaders, business leaders, economic leaders. I think there are also some people called thought leaders, basically.
Thought leaders, yeah.
I think these thought leaders are the people who you said right now, who just break the status quo, who come up with something new, who break everything and, you know, lead a new generation of people outside into, you know,
they have to a new world, basically.
It's like saying, you know, back when slavery existed, everyone accepted it. But then, you know, some people came and said, that was a new thought, you know.
They would have been normalized saying, this is okay, this is how it is.
Slavery is normal. Slavery was normal. Everybody accepted slavery. You can, you know, go somewhere, buy a black person and, you know, have them in your backyard. The same was in India. You can, you know, British people can, you know, just walk into any street and say, come, you have to come work for me. You do not give a person a choice and people accept it. Okay,
this is how it is.
Dora vandhitaru, dora kootitu poyitaru. Avladhaan. But then there was some thought leaders who came and said, this is wrong. You know, it has been stopped in other countries. So this is
like wrong. How Periyar and Ambedkar like made changes.
They're all thought leaders. So these are the leaders who break a lot of things. And these thought leaders are everywhere. They are there in the political firm. They are there in, you know, business. They are there in education. They're there everywhere. But only these thought leaders, they break it and bring a huge innovative change into the world.
Right. And there is a huge scope for example, like in the, how do I put it, in the kingdom times, right? So a king will supremely believe in his, you know, a mentor who will guide him on what to do. So which right now we think we can call it political strategizing, basically.
Yeah.
Basically Prashant Kishore right now. So do you think there is a correlation between a political strategist telling a leader what to do and the leader actually telling, this is where I want to go, I just want to know how? Am I making sense? I think
so. Yeah, I understand, you know, someone to direct the leader.
Yeah, so does the leadership's ability come from this person, or this person is just enabling him to strategize the fact that he has to become a leader?
When you said Prashant Kishore, you don't consider him as a leader, basically.
Yeah, true.
So he's a strategist, so he's not a leader. It is up to a leader to choose whether to have
Prashant Kishore,
you know, should I have Prashant Kishore with me? Who is the strategist that I should have? So the leader is going to choose the right
ability to have the right people with you at the right time.
It's one of the most important aspect of the leader. Previously, when you talked about the dynasty times, you know, Chanakya,
okay,
was supposed to be a very good tactician. And when we read the story about Chanakya, Arthashastra and the rise of the Vijayanagara kingdom, you know, it comes like, you know, this boy is not the direct heir to the empire.
Right.
But, you know, this strategist took him and made one of the biggest kings of the Indian history.
So do strategists find leaders when they are not even ready?
Okay, so in today's world, money is what is going to find you anything. Right. You know, it's got nothing other than that. So that's why we see Prashant Kishore going to the biggest bidder. You can talk. Back then, it was more about emotions. Money would have not been the major factor of having a good strategist. And that's all. And, you know, sometimes strategist also wants to be with people who are in power. So they kind of know, okay, this is the person.
They go hand in hand.
This is the person who knows, you know, it's like the king and the queen in the chessboard.
Right. Now, my question comes at a point where there was this Gurukul, right?
Gurukul.
So the person who is inside is a leader inside, basically, technically.
Teacher.
Yeah, teacher.
A teacher is a leader.
Yeah. So in some way, like, right, coming from our conversation of how we are seeing leaders. So in that specific organization, so that person allocates certain people to certain things, like you are good at archery, correct, you should do this. So is leadership going to be something like, how do I put it, a leader helping others find their passion or directing them?
Okay.
So do leaders also act as strategists, you know?
Okay. So I would like to, you know, bring the movie Matrix into this.
Okay.
So the Matrix has 4 major characters. One is the hero. We call him, he's called Neo. And then the teacher, he's called Morpheus. And then there is a guide. It's the Oracle. And then there is someone called the Architect. So he is the person who has built the entire system. And then there is one person who is the right opposite of the hero, the villain.
Okay, this is the specs guy.
The myth.
Okay. So
these are the main characters of the Matrix. So basically, when we look at the Matrix, the Morpheus, you know, Morpheus. So he is the mentor. He finds the hero, actually. The hero does not know he's the hero. The hero never accepts he's the hero.
Right.
Until, you know, end of the first part, he never believes he is the hero or he is the chosen one. But then this person believes that he is the chosen one and, you know, guides him, trains him and makes him a hero.
Right.
So, and that's how the movie goes. And the role of the hero in the movie is to, you know, the role of the hero is, the role of the leader is to break the current status quo.
Okay.
So that is what, so the, that's what he does. Basically, he breaks the current status quo and brings a new way how people are able to look at the world and have a different kind of life.
Right. That is a very good perspective because I've never like thought of it in that way. And leadership right now has, you know, different shades. Like you are either you are praised like heavily or you are like criticized heavily. So every single action that you take can have a huge impact. And do you think leadership in a way is very hard for some people to manage? Like, is it like a lifestyle that people choose to have? Because I know a lot of people who want to bring change. For example, I want to help these dogs, you know, have an adoptive shelter. I want these homeless people to be fed every single day. But I don't want to do it. I don't think I'm the right person to do it. So a part of their decision making is basically something called, you know, a decision fatigue, saying like, should I be the right person to do it? Like when you said, like, Neo does not accept he is a hero, but it is someone who pushed them to become, you know, to do that. So do leadership quality exists in a lot of people, but only comes out in a few?
Like, you know, there is an inhibition inside that particular person, you know. I am not that, you know, and some energy should be given to this person.
Yeah, it is the execution that will make you the person, but I don't want to do the execution.
So, like, again, you know, from the Matrix, the hero has to go through really tough times to and come out successful. He has to overcome death, basically, to make him the hero.
Right.
So, you know, in
more than death, like it's like very, it's a simulation, it's like something that you don't even understand.
So, you know, the hero basically, from most of the stories, you know, from Abraham Lincoln, Mahatma Gandhi, Nelson Mandela, what we would have seen is they would have gone through shit.
Right.
You know, the deepest shit, you know, Ambedkar, Periyar, whomever it is, whomever we know, Buddha. They would have, you know, Buddha voluntarily, you know, said, I want to experience the worst thing that a person can ever experience.
Right.
You know, only once you have that emotional feeling, that, you know, the deepest low, the worst low that you can go, and still you say, I can come up. Right. I will come up. And then rise up successfully. And those are the people who become heroes.
And the consistent drive to keep doing things even if you fail, right?
You know, the reason why the hierarchy system failed and people did not, the, you know, the hierarchy model when we had, you know, before our democratic rule was, you know, you had a king, somehow he had the kingdom and then his child becomes the king.
Right.
And, you know, once you have not seen the worst that a person can go through, you, as a king, you would never know if you just, you know, been given the golden spoon when you were born. You would never know what is the worst thing that a person can ever go. You know, only if you know that, you would know the decisions that to take. Without knowing that, you cannot be a good leader. And, you know, that is why the system of hierarchy basically failed and democracy came up. And right now, democracy is in the brink of, you know, extinction very soon.
Right.
Because, you know, it is following hierarchy.
We believed it could exist. Okay.
We all believed it could exist. You know, there should be people to break this status quo that, you know, we all still accept democracy. But, you know, it has, whatever system, whatever thing that we create, we create it small. We wanted to, you know, we do a test trial. And once this test becomes successful, this organization grows slowly, slowly, slowly. And once something becomes so big, it's very hard for it to move or change.
Right. True.
it's very hard for it to move or change. You know, leaders, we call it, you know, in marketing, we call it marketing myopia. Yeah. Short-sightedness.
Short-sightedness.
Now this is, you know, leadership myopia. You're so big, you don't see, you only have the time to see what your generals and what your, you know, in Indian politics, what your ministers want. You don't, you never have the time to see what basically the actual people want. I think we are at the time of extinction of the idea of democracy. We need to have another, you know, we are seeing a lot of countries. This is not the first time, basically. This is not the first time. We have to have another alternative method. Maybe democracy, but eliminating hierarchy in democracy.
Right.
Hierarchy must be eliminated in democracy, or else we are going to, you know, Sri Lanka, the Rajapaksha family, Tamil Nadu, the DMK family, wherever I see, you know, there are just families or fraternities or certain group of cults of people just coming again and again and again. And they are never going to understand the people. They are just going to make the people be the same. You know,
right.
If I'm going to change you, you will start questioning me.
Right.
I will not change you. I will keep you like this so that I know how to deal with you.
Right.
And the best way to keep you like this is keep you unaware of everything and just tell you
everything is good. Everything is all right.
I am there.
Right.
And giving such fake things. That is how it has been working. Putin. I do not know, you know, any name we drop, you know, any leader's name we drop in the current democratic world, so-called democratic world. No one is doing the things that they were supposed to do. You know, democracy was supposed to be there so that we have peace across the globe, so that there is unity, so that, you know, there is inequality. I think none of us, it was achieved. We saw real great leaders across the globe. Across the globe, we saw really great.
Time and time again.
When initially the status quo was changed, you know, when the thought leaders were there, you know, when they pushed the economy, when they pushed the system in the initial, they wanted to bring the change. But once this organization grew big, it collapses. It's just like, you know, any religion you say, we take Buddhism, we take Hinduism, we take Muslims, we take Christians, we take any religion. All these, you know, the forerunners of the religion said, please do not worship me.
Right.
But then to make it a cult, we all worship them. And now it has become so big, you do not know either. It is just corrupt.
Right.
It is just corrupt. It is not solving the purpose why it was formed. The purpose why it was formed was to spread love. But I think none of the religion is spreading love anywhere.
Right. I think negativity has become so loud that positivity to even exist, it's, you know, it's very difficult because the noise is too loud for anybody to...
I think the word God, religion should all, you know, be wiped out from our head.
Right. If only we could do that in an instant, like...
People are able to, you know, when people are able to implant such ideas, when our current leaders are able to implant these ideas into the head of us, when, you know, we all come with clean slates in our head.
Right.
We know nothing. We just know to cry for food. We don't even know to walk. We don't even know what to see. We just cry when we are hungry. But, you know, we were all implanted with all these ideas through, you know, our books.
So, books, upbringing and culture and everything.
And environment. Like so, you know, if all these things are removed, I think we'll have a peaceful leadership. You know, leaders are the root cause of all evils. It's not.
That took a wild turn.
Basically, leaders are the root cause
of
all evils.
And I want to understand, like, the self-awareness factors of how leaders are, basically, you know. So there is this thing called imposter syndrome.
Mm.
So the imposter syndrome is basically that no matter what you achieve, you wouldn't take credit for it.
Okay.
So I know some people, you know, who know they do certain stuff. Know they have done something for that, you know, change, but they will not tell them that it was theirs because they know it was because of what the people, you know, did to them and the decisions that they made in the right time.
Nikola Tesla, Tesla, okay. The Nikola Tesla.
Yeah. So is imposter syndrome a characteristic trait for exceptional leaders, or can leaders take actual credit for, like, yeah, I did that? Like, does that put them in a different perspective where their attitude is, yeah, I made this happen? Does narcissism come into play, or are all leaders?
Humans are narcissists.
Sorry?
Humans are narcissists.
Yeah, that is there.
Leaders cannot be narcissists.
Right.
Leaders, I think, are different species, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They have to be different species. Yeah. You know, they cannot be Homo sapiens. You know? they if you are a Homo sapiens,
Homo difference.
Yeah, they have to be Homo difference. If you are a Homo sapien, I don't think you are a leader. As you said, you know, imposter syndrome. I think it should be added as a quality of leadership.
Right.
Only people like that should be leaders. Or like, you know, what do you say? I see a lot of these Instagram posts which says 10
traits
to be a leader. I think none of these posts have this. I've never seen any of these posts have this imposter syndrome ever.
Right. Because like I see a lot of content creators these days where there are two different aspects. Where a certain content creator community will say like, I did all the things and I deserve this. And then an entire another scenario says, I was just doing at the right place at the right time.
Correct.
So, and their entire behavior across the channels on social media is like entirely different. So some will take actual credit for it and some will say, I was just lucky to be here.
Behaviorally, you know, how would you differentiate both these?
No, they'll have a show of attitude, like I made it, you know.
Okay.
They'll buy stuff and everything.
Okay.
And this, people are like, nothing matters, you know.
Okay.
Like, for example, if you take Abdul Kalam as an example.
Correct.
I think his entire net worth was like nothing. He didn't
even doing this on the birthday of Kamarajar when you said Abdul Kalam.
Yeah, and Kamarajar was the same thing. Like when people said like, I want to learn, what do you want? Like, yeah, have education for free, but I'm not able to have food in my home. Have food for free. So he made the pain points available for the people to actually make certain things.
No, I visited a doctor recently during my sales visit. He had a photo of Mahatma Gandhi, Jawaharlal Nehru and Kamarajar. So I asked him, I thought it was more of a caste reason of having it. So I just asked him to know the reason. And he said, the reason why I'm a doctor today is because of Kamarajar.
Right.
He said in history, his own history where, you know,
their actions made a lot of people.
A lot of impact, you know.
Yeah.
This doctor, I met him, would be around his 80s. He is an orphan. Because of Kamarajar's initiative of free education,
he was able to come inside.
Today he's a doctor. And you know, the amount of impact this person would have brought into the world, you know, the number of lives he would have saved. You know, it is exceptional, you know, the small drops, rippling.
Yeah, and as you said, like when people think about this leadership myopia, and I think a lot of this comes in people who have a vision of 50 to 60 years.
Correct.
Saying like, what we do now is going to be a seed for something that is going to 60 years. But I think the short-term business leadership that people are praising these CEOs as heroes and leaders, they focus too much on the short-term gains.
Too much short-term, you know.
And we spoke about Byju's a lot. Last year, it was like the best edtech startup. And the next year, it's like, is Byju's going to survive? And they start their offline things and everything. So, which is like a very good example of how this leadership myopia is happening between
Correct.
These companies. So, I think we should understand that not everything can happen in a single day and we should have long-term vision.
Patience, you know, patience is what that is going to... Patience should be a big...
it's a virtue.
Character.
Trait.
Trait that leaders should have, you know. Wait. If it is not you, Don't worry.
Don't feel bad, yeah.
Don't worry. You know, don't take the blame, don't take the credit.
Right.
You know what has to happen, you just, you know, be a part of it. I think that is one thing that, you know, a leader should be. And, you know, when you said Byju's, Tesla is something the same, you know. When I look at Tesla as a company, I'm always confused about this person, dancing guys. I do not know. Many of my friends treat him like God.
Right.
I can't even consider him as a person of integrity.
Right.
A person of value. The way how he is portrayed or how he was portrayed, you know, as a person of integrity, as a person who hustles, as a person who knows everything, the best engineer, blah, 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 blah. You know, the day when he manipulated people's money with just a tweet, his
right.
integrity is no longer there. You know, he became a man of profit.
Right.
He you know, the things that he said was, you know, the promises that was given by the company, by that individual was, know, I'm going to give you cleaner energy. I'm going to give you, you know,
interplanetary
travel, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, the only thing, those all look like, you know, things to blind the unaware human being that, you know, you have a fraud right amongst you.
Right. Is it like a scam waiting to unravel?
Unravel, correct. I think it has unraveled and many people now know it. And, you know, now I look, if I do a sentiment analysis on any of, you know, the Google video where he is there, the comments are right now are, you know,
very mixed.
Previously, it was all, you know, he's a guy, he's this, he's that, he does this, you know, he's a dream, blah, blah, blah. But now it is changing. So one act of, you know, losing your integrity changes everything. I think integrity is something very important a leader should have. Integrity is the main feature, I think, one of the main traits that we should have. I think integrity, imposter syndrome.
Yeah. And wow. I think I recently have become very fond of the saying.
Okay.
Kadamaiye sei palanai edhirpaakkave, where you just do your work and we just let things happen. So
okay.
And I think we've been like hearing that sentence from a young age, and I see a lot of people saying, I'm doing a lot of this, I'm not getting any traction or anything like that. Just do your thing, just do it. You will get it. Like that is where the drive that we spoke about comes in. Correct. That is where the patience comes
in.
And you know, a lot of things that can actually be one of the branches to you reaching the top of whatever your goal is. So I think it's a very collaborative effort. And
I think the leader's goal is never an individualistic goal.
Right. It's a collective goal.
It's a collective goal. Collective goals.
Yeah. So I think like we've covered a lot of things today.
I think we just bought 4 traits.
I think we can define leadership.
No, Instagram has 10. We at least got to go to 7.
Yeah. So I think it's been more than 40 minutes, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. And
so leader is a big topic, you know.
It's a big topic, yeah. And I think we can do a second.
So one thing that, you know, before concluding, I want to say, you know, the people whom we think global leaders are national leaders are local leaders, they are not basically leaders.
Right.
They are just imposters.
Right.
And they do not want any of us to know what we are supposed to know. No, we always say we are in the digital era, the era of social media, the era of internet, the era of information. Even during this era, these imposters who call themselves leaders are hiding information from us. A leader should be transparent.
Right, a transparency, right.
A leader should be transparent. They don't have that. So, you know, do not believe any of your leaders. You know what you want, but search for it. Do not get it.
It's hidden in plain sight.
It is. Yeah. Do not get it from your imposter leaders. Do not get it from your imposter leaders who just... It is really ugly to see posters with a person's face and tagline across every street wherever I go.
Right.
I don't know how bad it is.
You have to be a chellapillai Ram sometime. Anyways, with that positive note, I think we can end this episode. I think it was like great to... I think I am honestly surprised by the fact that we have, you know, covered all this.
Honesty.
I think we have an entire paper full of things that we covered this entire episode. And
you need to show us, you know, when...
Yeah, definitely. We'll put this in the video. And I honestly didn't think like we'll cover all this topic. Because like we are very... basic lay persons talking about leadership. It is a long way to go.
Yeah, correct. You know, we're just sharing perspectives.
Yeah, basically. And there's no right and wrong, and there's a long way to go, obviously. We are young. And I think the next in the next few years, we'll have a different perspective on what we are achieving as, you know, people who understand leadership and everything. So thank you so much. I think we'll meet again in another episode. Thank you so much for watching this episode. Take care. Bye-bye.